I came across a book the other day you might be interested in reading, just for the sake of affirmation and encouragement. Examples of something that we hope would happen to us, particularly in our difficult times, our crisis times, our lethargic times. It's by a woman that a lot of us who are older may know. I don't know about the younger people. Her name was Margot Thomas. She is the daughter of Danny Thomas, and I am aging myself as we speak. Danny Thomas was a comedian, a stand-up, and then he had his own show, The Danny Thomas Show. And he is responsible for founding St. Jude's Hospital that you see so much advertised, wonderful things that they do for children at St. Jude's Hospital. Margot Thomas wrote a book called The Right Words at the Right Time. And it's interesting to read how different famous people, some movie stars, some politicians, educators, people of medicine, that are having their formation, their education times, and many times in their young life, having what we have in our young life, but I think any time now, there's a certain angst that we go through whenever we're younger and growing up and trying to make our own way, trying to find our place in the sun. What do I want to do, let alone what's the meaning of life? And she quotes someone whom I hope you're all familiar with, Americana, by the name of Paul McCartney of the Beatles. Each of these people really writes their own story. She edits it and puts it in the book, The Right Words at the Right Time. And the story goes from Paul McCartney that whenever he was 14 years old, his mother died. She was a very busy woman, had a couple of jobs. She loved her children to death, doted on Paul, but on his brothers and sisters, but she's so busy that there wasn't a lot of time for them to interface. But he knew that she loved him very much. And when he was 14 and she passed so quickly, he was devastated, as any of us, I believe, would be. And then time went on, and after a while, he even forgot what she looked like, as well as the sound of her voice. And when he was 19 years old and already with the Beatles, and things just were not working out right, he was considering leaving them, and he didn't know what he was going to do. He was a Catholic, by the way, who had fallen away from the faith, but his mother had always been a practicing Catholic, and he remembered that, so he had a certain simpatico with the Catholic Church, and consequently with praying, and especially to our Lord. It was a personal relationship that he had with Christ via the vehicle of his mother's example. And so he went to bed one night and he was wondering to himself, if his mother was around, what would she say to him about facing his future? And he had a dream of him, of her that night. And in the dream, he appeared to her and she was very vivid. And I copied this down, excuse me for reading this, but I don't want to botch it. He said he had a dream of her. And what she said to him was, let it be. She said to him, be gentle. Don't fight things. Just go and try with the flow, and it will all work out. And he got up and kind of blinked his eyes and went over to his desk and started to write the song that we know today about Let It Be. His mother's name was Mary. And so he wrote what he remembered also from the dream. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. That will be the answer, let it be. She loves stories like that, especially when they're based in fact by someone who's famous and has some integrity, some discipline, some fame, and can speak from an experience that happened from his heart, very private. And that experience of the fact that there's the right words at the right time should resonate with us, because a lot of times we think of the words, I believe, that are said to us that are wounding and we carry around maybe for the rest of our lives. I remember a classmate of mine who was still busy being a Franciscan priest in Brazil, told me that his father told him they didn't have a relationship when he was finishing high school and considering the priesthood. His father told him that he would never amount to anything. Be a priest, get up and stand about Jesus Christ in the midst of the assembly. You're not bright enough to do that. You have no discipline. He carried that, I think, to this day. But in this particular case, he used it as a fire, a trigger, to sort of prove his father wrong. And by the way, he did that. But to this day, I know that those words still sting. But stop and think about, in the positive, the right words that are said that make all the difference in the world, the right words at the right time. I think about, for instance, the time when I had been a brother in the community for 12 years, no interest in studying for the priesthood. That came over a period of time. And I was very anxious about it, mostly public speaking. And for a couple of years, I worked for my spiritual director, discerning the call to priesthood, which was going to cause a lot of different things in our order at the time. And my spiritual director finally said to me, rather exasperated, "Jim, if you really believe that this call is from God, don't you think that he will give you the grace?" Hit me right between the eyes. Where was my faith? This was an act of faith. I had to reach out and I had to step in trusting the Lord. Until that priest died, which was about 3 years ago of cancer, I used to thank him and thank him and thank him because he gave me the right words at the right time. Whenever you look at the scriptures today, you think of the right words at the right time, which is why, by the way, the whole concept of staying close to the scriptures is we often say, we look for what am I supposed to do in life? Of course we do. And maybe that's a question we always have, even as we grow older. What's going to come next? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And so on. And we can go to self-help books at bookstores. We can ask other people who are walking with us, what do you think? Those are all legitimate. But first and foremost, we go to the Word of God. And we look at people who experience the right words at the right time. So for instance, I think about what's been going on with the walking on the water recently, last week. The right words at the right time. This was an act of faith that Peter had. He saw Jesus walking on the water in the midst of this storm. If it's really you, tell me to come to you. And I'll walk on the water. And he began to do that, and he began to fail because he began to disbelieve. And he cried out, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." The right words at the right time. And Jesus said to him, "O ye of little faith," and he drew him out of the water. That's what the Holy Spirit says to us so many times in our life when we question our life, question our faith, question what I'm doing and whom I'm with. O ye of little faith. Socrates says the unexamined life is not worth living. The reason that we reflect back on our lives is to see where God has saved me in a situation. He's been there for me, sent the right person, arranged the circumstances, or I heard words from the many, or a particular significant person that was the right words at the right time. But first and foremost, I turn to the scriptures, like today. The right words at the right time, how bold this woman was, as mothers and fathers are about the welfare of their children. She who was not a Jew, and yet she called him by a royal title, Son of David. Only Hebrews did that to another. And she cried out because she was desperate. And he, feigning disinterest, said, "I'm not going to give this to the dogs, this great food that I am dispensing by way of my preaching." And she says, even the dogs will eat the crumbs from the table, the right words at the right time. And then she said, Lord, help me. And the apostles would later remember, especially the evangelical writers of the Gospels, would remember that this is one of many signs where it occurs that Jesus is saying, I didn't just come for the Hebrew or the Jewish people. I come for the many, which is what is being celebrated in Paul's second reading today. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. The right word at the right time. I think about, too, the times whenever we really wonder if I'm blind and deaf to what the Holy Spirit is doing because I'm not paying attention. There's much attention deficit in the world today because we're so overstimulated by so many things, which is why we're called to quiet times of reflection. You know, the priest, Father Donald Calloway, that wrote the Consecration to Saint Joseph, speaking specifically to husbands and wives and parents and families, because Saint Joseph is the patron saint of men, healthy sexuality in men, engaged couples, married couples, families, the workplace, selling real estate, knocking on doors, looking for room in the inn. Also a holy death, because we believe that the teenage Jesus and the Blessed Mother was with him when he was dying. Patron saint of the Catholic Church, which is why the papal flag is always next to the statue of Saint Joseph in the Catholic Church, or should be. Just like the American flag is always next to the statue of the Blessed Mother to remind us that she is the patroness of the U.S. in our case under the title of the Immaculate Conception. We turn to Saint Joseph because he is one of those people in the lives of the saints who his word was mostly silent in his actions. We don't have recordings of what he said, but we certainly have recordings of what he did by way of his faithfulness. As Saint Francis once allegedly said, always preach and sometimes use words. You see, you're a living word. You who have children, look at your children. They are God's word to you. Look at your spouse. Think of your families, your workplaces, though it might not feel like it. These are circumstances where they are words being spoken to you, and you speak to them, and how you act, speak, dress, go, risks that you take. The word that Jesus gives to us, or that the Father gives to us, is Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says in the Scriptures. And most of the Scriptures that we had for this summer are people who are in terrible trouble, and they end up pleading and asking and begging the Lord to help them. And because they spoke that Word to Jesus Christ, the right Word at the right time, their prayers were answered and great things happened. Healings were made. People were risen from the dead. Circumstances were changed. We turn to the Word of God, which is in the Scriptures, and the Word made flesh. How about the right word at the right time at the consecration? This is my body given up for you. This is my blood shed for you. Those are important words to remind us that we are not alone. We not only have the Word, but he comes to us in Holy Communion. The right word at the right time of the Word made flesh, we receive him in Holy Communion. And then he makes us this living tabernacle. There is a kind of stillness inside of us if we allow to nurture it, where we listen to the Word of God and we discern and intuit the direction that he wants us to take. The right word at the right time when I am doubting is to say amen, meaning I believe. The right words at the right time is to say when someone disparages the Catholic faith, excuse me, but this is of value to me, and I would appreciate that you respect it as much as I respect whatever it is you believe. In other words, we don't put up with situations where I am offended, and God knows it happens. We are called as Catholics to defend the faith, but I've got to know it. So I've got to read the catechism and read what the church teaches and read the scriptures and pay attention to the gospel and the readings, because these are the right words at the right time for us. That he fills us up with his word and the word made flesh. And then we go out and we speak it, so to speak, and we act it out. And we remember that by the words that we speak that are positive, imagine we can change the course of a person's life if they're being negative, destructive, even suicidal or murderous, by some word that we offer, some act of kindness, some presence of attention. That's a word that God speaks through us, making us instruments of peace. The right time at the right words. I think the right time at the right words for us in a world full of sin, and we, God knows, we are all tempted to get some comfort from the word, that we walk into the confessional and we are saying, Lord, help me. We are saying, Lord, save me. And then these wonderful words at the right time from the scriptures that restores us to an inner stillness, joy, and grace. He fills me with the word as I am forgiven for my sins. The right time, the right words at the right time. God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of his church, may God give me pardon and peace. I absolve you from your sins, and then both of us would make the sign of the cross. I once had, when I was studying clinical psychology, a Catholic professor say to me and another priest that was in the class, I envy you, because you can say to people who come to you something I can't. I absolve you. Do you know what a gift it is to tell someone with some authority of the background of the church, some papal, God-given, holy, ordered structure that you are involved with the power of holy orders, that you can just say someone who is full of shame or guilt or feels worthless or is frightened or anxious or depressed or whatever it is, you can bring them out of the lethargy and out of the pit. I absolve you are great words, and you can change a person's life. Well, of course, I can't change a person's life through that word. It's Jesus Christ in the priest that extends that absolution to those who come with an agenda in their heart, full of contrition. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. So stop and listen to the words that you listen to through the course of a day. Because we have a lot of despots inside of us who put us down and pull us apart. Old memories of people who wounded or hurt us. Things that were said to us as we were growing up, or maybe even yesterday or this morning, that riled me up and made me feel sad or angry. I get to get rid of the despot and fill myself with the Holy Spirit. I need the right words at the right time, which is why we stay close to the scriptures and the holy sacraments of the Mass. And Father Calloway would say, you want to maintain your faith. You want to maintain the word made flesh inside of us. We've got to have a focus on the words that are inculcated in this way. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, manual labor, and the rosary. Those are all expressions of the body, mind, soul, and spirit that keeps us away from that which is dark or exotic, esoteric, or tempts us to things that are sinful. These are the thoughts that I have and I give myself over to. It is an answer to save me and help me, Lord. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, some manual labor, and the Holy Rosary. I remember one final saying from Alex Haley that wrote Roots, which was a novel that was out in the 80s, made into a movie about an African fella who was in slavery and what happened to him when he came to this country, and roots, 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 our ancestors, and so on. He wrote, Oh, has this helped me so many times? The Lord may not always come when we expect him to, but he'll always be on time.